Hello, welcome to the next in the edition, or next edition of Back to Tracks. That was Rhea Curry and Free Thinker. See, she got me doing it now. We were laughing off air that she can never remember the person's name. And I thought I've written it down. And even if I wrote it down, I still can't say it. Free Thinker Funk Essence.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a really good track, that. And it's out on the Burning Soul Records. And it's called Just Need Your Love. And you can get it. If you go on Bandcamp, look for Burning Soul Records. They're out of Basel in Switzerland. You should be able to find it. But, and I think they've got it at Juno as well. If you go online, you'll be able to find it. It's excellent. Anyway, The singer on that track is Rhea Curry. Welcome,
Rhea. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay.
Haven't seen you for a while.
No, it's good to be back here.
Yes, the Box of Delights most guesty guest has arrived on another show.
Yes.
She's taking over, ship full of bombs. Well, so I think you know the essence of this show is we get someone in to chat about their career, their influences, maybe choose a few tracks that have they've either appeared on or they like in particular and had a meaning to them, and have a chat about things for about an hour or so. So we're not changing the format. So I was going to ask you first off, Rhea, when you were young, was there a lot of music around in your household?
Yeah, there was. My dad was always playing the Beatles and Simon and Garfunkel, I remember. My mum was playing, she liked Johnny Mathis.
Yeah.
And she loved Boy George. She loved Culture Club.
Okay.
So
quite a modern mum.
I know. She loved it. Colour by Numbers, the album.
Yeah. Oh, great.
And she used to play that. Yeah. All the time. I know, that's why I know all the words to
it. Okay, yeah.
Because she used to blast it out.
Well, I mean, I bought that when it came out myself and played it all the time.
Well, I think my sister bought it.
Okay.
She's older than me. My sister bought it and my mum kind of stole it.
Stole it, yeah.
And I do remember there was, I always remember sitting at the end of the lounge with my headphones on because you obviously had your record player and then you had your big headphones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that had Disco Fever album.
God, I remember. I can picture the cover.
Yeah, the guy dancing.
Yeah, the guy dancing.
Yeah.
I
loved it.
Used to find that in charity shops all the time about 25 years ago. You don't see it anymore, but it's so there's some good stuff on that.
Yeah, my favourite was Red Light Spells Danger.
Yeah, by Billy Ocean.
Brilliant. And I think it was last year, maybe the year before, I was walking past the Argosy Toys.
Yeah.
And they had some records out. Yeah. And I took a picture because I saw it on the bench.
Wow.
And I took a picture of it and I put it on Facebook. And I remember Eddie Roberts from New Master Sounds. Yeah. He just went, "Oh my God, tell me you bought it. That was my first record I ever bought."
That's right.
And then I thought, I've got to go back and get it.
Yeah.
And I went back and it was gone.
Oh. Yeah, it's one of those records that, I mean, my friend Dave Collins, who does Podrofino on the show, that's a track, an album we always chat about, because there's a record by a woman called Joy Sarney, who come from Southend, called Naughty, Naughty, Naughty.
Was she from Southend?
Yeah, from Southend.
I remember it.
And it's all about a Punch and Judy show. It's a bizarre, one of those bizarre records.
And The Telephone Man.
Yeah, Telephone Man by Mary Wilson.
Yeah.
Which is very sort of quite disturbing.
I know. And it came on the radio
and
I was singing it and my son said, "How on earth do you know the words to this song?"
Absolutely. It's a really quite a disturbing song, really. But there's some good stuff in those days. I mean, I suppose the now music things came out, but you don't get that anymore because of Spotify. They don't need to do compilations because people just do their own. But it was always good fun because there's always a real banger on those compilations and there's also a really terrible one as well.
Yeah.
Some good. They're worth checking out.
And my sister was always buying Bowie. Say she was 7 years older than me, so she was like Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Soft Cell.
Yeah. That's my kind of era because I'm 58 now. So
yeah, she's same.
So yeah, that was the same kind of era for me. That's
sneak into her room.
Well, I was buying stuff before that. I started when I was about 9, I suppose, buying records. But when I started really getting into it, because when you first get your first job and you got a bit of money, then I could just spend it all on records, which is what I've done for the last 40 odd years. It's quite a good influence. Having an older sibling maybe is quite a good influence on you to.
I think my first record was with a Al Price voucher.
Okay.
And it was a reissue of I Want You Back by the Jackson 5.
Oh, great.
I don't know why it was reissued. I'm not sure why. But and I remember going to buy that in Basildon.
Great. Al Price Basildon. I remember that. Al Price Basildon very, very well. Oh, yeah. Well, so that's a pretty good first record to write.
Oh, yeah. 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 And then when I was on a compilation album, and on it was, I think it was called Soul Sessions, and I think I was on there with Work It Out, with Speedometer, and on it was that track,
okay.
So Jackson 5 track, and I thought, first record.
So you've worked for the Jackson 5, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. I can start saying that now.
What about... You said when you were younger, you listened to all this kind of stuff. When did you first start singing? Because did you start? What school did you go to around here?
Appleton.
So did I. Best school in the business.
Obviously. Oh, it must have been in my sister's year.
I probably was. Yeah. Probably was. Yeah, she left in 81 then.
Can't remember.
Yeah, she's my, yeah, must have been her sister, yeah. Anyway, well, there. So, yeah, were you singing at school or music-wise?
I was always singing at home, always, like, singing at school, but kind of was in, like, school bands, you know, stuff like that. And then left school, thought, you know, I really just wanted to get into singing. You know, loved it so much. Just doing things, just at recording studios with bands, rehearsal studios with bands and things like that. And then some performances.
Yeah.
And then, I just progressed from that, really. Got myself singing lessons to make sure I was doing it right, you know. And then...
A lot of people don't do.
I know. And, so I found a great singing teacher, opera singing teacher. So he taught me operatic.
Yes. How to breathe.
How to breathe.
Your diaphragm and all that.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah.
So he stood me in good stead. Yeah. And... so my voice doesn't get knackered.
Well, sorry, I think that's the trouble with people who don't learn how to sing properly is that their voice dies and they knacker their throat.
Throat.
I mean,
you
hear so many stories of people like, I mean, I know, I'm not casting aspersions or whatever the word is on people like Adele, but she's always talking about having her voice and throat problems and nodules. But is that because she's never really learned how to sing properly?
I mean,
she's got a great voice.
Yeah,
but it doesn't
know.
Necessarily
she's
mean. I mean, I always hark back to people always talk about Tony Bennett, and, you know, he was 90-odd and he could still sing perfectly.
Yeah.
That's because he was taught how to sing.
Yeah, and Tom Jones,
yeah. I mean, I remember...
All Welsh men can sing.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is that?
I think it's seeing their nature, isn't it? But I think I saw Tony Bennett when he was about 75 at Royal Albert Hall, took the mic away and just sang, and his voice filled the auditorium. Because he'd been taught how to do it.
Yeah.
And he always sang like that. So when all the other guys of all his generation were all good, really great singers, but when they were struggling to hold the notes and stuff when they got older, he didn't have to worry about that because his pitch never changed. He's like,
he's
90 odd and he's still singing in the same key as he did when he was 25. It's ridiculous.
Martha High.
Yeah.
Her voice is
absolutely
just
amazing.
Still bang on.
Still bang on. Absolutely. Yeah. Where maybe James Brown's wasn't when he got older. He just, because he wasn't taught how to sing properly.
He screamed a lot. But they say he can scream in tune.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what
he certainly did a lot of that. On and off microphone, I imagine.
Yeah.
So when was your first sort of... Before I enter sort of the pop world, then, because I think I heard rumours you were signed under Pete Waterman for a bit. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was with local bands, doing show. I was in like a duets. Mm. I was like performing.
Was that kind of like weddings?
Covers,
and covers bands and all that kind
covers,
of covers,
not weddings. No, no, just more like around at clubs, and then. Yeah. I was in a band.
What kind of music was that?
With the acoustic stuff, that was more like pop stuff.
Yeah.
But I was in a band which was more soul and stuff like that, soul stuff. And, we did quite a few music venues with that band. Mm. Wasn't signed or anything.
No.
And then I was always going for auditions to try to kind of make it in a way.
Yeah.
Like I was just thinking that was the route.
Yeah.
Because I was younger, so I was going for auditions all the time, getting this, getting that, but recording along the way, people were asking me to record on their music, so I was getting some stuff out on dance tracks and things like that, and then I went for an audition in Birmingham with the all-girl group.
Okay.
For an all-girl group.
What were they called? Can you remember?
Oh, we had so many different
names
because we had different managers, but when we got together there was no name.
Yeah.
So we was with the managers in Birmingham. There was four of us got chose.
Yeah.
And me from here, Southend, Max was from Birmingham. Dudley. I've got to say Dudley. Dawn was from Leicester. Yeah. Tina was from London.
Yeah.
So we were in Birmingham with the first management.
Yeah.
We ran away from him because Pete Waterman wanted to see us.
Yeah.
So we ran away from Birmingham. But before that, the Birmingham management had taken us to London to go to Smash Hits, and we'd done an interview because they were going to do this thing, come up with a competition, come up with a name for this new up-and-coming girl group.
Yeah, yeah.
But because we ran away from him, he pulled the interview. So we went with Pete. We recorded quite a few songs with him. And then we left him, and then we went to the Manic Street Preachers manager. He was looking for an all-girl group.
Yeah.
So he funded us for a year. Mm. We recorded with Tim Laws, all different people, did lots of recording. And when we got to our showcase, which was a two-day long, different, you know, record companies, it never, none of them took it on. So he was like, okay, I had it in my head that I was going to fund you for a year. So that's it. We didn't know that. It was in his head. So he just said, you know, I'm going to cut my losses now. So I was like, oh, so it was like horrible.
Oh, it must have been terrible. So how old were you then? About 19, something like that?
No. I was about 20. I joined them girls when I was about 22.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were together about 3.5 years. And then I got a production deal. But then I was, like I said in my post, that, I was having to start lying about my age. Because, you know, they wanted me to be young. And I was 28 and I was saying I was 24 and all of that. So I recorded with it. I had this production deal because I'd gone for an interview for this other all-girl group. And they called me up and said, you're not in the all-girl group. I said, oh, okay. And they said, but we want to take you on as a solo.
Okay.
So that's how I got that production deal. So while they were doing the all-girl group, I was doing this solo thing. But lying about my age and everything.
Well, I think it's unfortunately that's the, I think both, particularly women.
You've got to be younger.
You've got to be younger. I mean, you know, this weekend's International Women's Day. We're recording this on the International Women's Day, actually, on Friday. You know, and it's just such a shame. I think males also have to do that a bit, but it's not so important.
It's but in women, the pop world. It's in the pop world, you have to be.
I mean, you often find that. Now, how's Jerry Halliwell only, you know,
12?
Yeah, exactly. When she's, I mean, I think she was probably quite a bit older than the rest of the people at that time.
In fact, when the Spice Girls came out, we were more soulful. You know, we had more of a soulful sound, and didn't really want that pop sound.
No.
Whereas Pete gave us a bit of that pop sound. We had to sing records that, you know, we wanted to write. We were writing, but he wouldn't let us, obviously. But
there's a package is a thing with them, isn't it?
And
he's very good at it.
It was very poppy, but we liked the music far better when we got with the Manix manager because he was letting us, he was giving us R&B, more R&B kind of like soulful stuff. And but we was with Pete when the Spice Girls got a number one. And he... swore, I won't swear, but he boomed into the studio and said, them Spice Girls are number one. Write me a song like them. Spice Girls. So it went even more poppy after that.
Okay. Do you want to play another a tune?
Yeah.
What do you want to play?
Well, the other day I was listening to, I think it was the radio or something on Spotify I was listening to, and it flicked onto a track, that was it. And I thought, who is this? Because it was a really good funk track. And I thought it was a male singer, and I thought, who is that? Anyway, I looked and it was Benny King.
Well, he's not renowned for his soul funky stuff. He did do an album, which I've got, with Average White Band. In the late 70s, but he's not really renowned for his funk singing, is he? Not at all.
No, and this
you
was a
sort of ballad, soul ballads, is his
thing. Because I mean, Stand By Me, I think, is one of the best vocal performances ever.
Yeah, it's a great tune.
It's amazing.
Beautiful singing.
But this Supernatural Thing, I'd never heard of.
Okay.
And from 1975.
Okay. Just while she cues it all up on Spotify. Okay, this is Benny King.
Supernatural thing. Your love. Show me how I like it, baby. One more time.
Oh, Benny King there, and that's a supernatural thing. That's a really good track. I love that. It's got a really good groove. I should be scouring for that and see what I can find. That's a good really good thing.
Excellent. See, the last time I did this, Mark, it was a Labisifri, The Vulture.
Absolutely.
You ended up buying an album.
And well, and and the other one is Going Back to My Roots by Richie Havens.
Oh, yeah.
Which I played on a stream last week, I think, week before last on Twitch. People going, wow, what a record, what a record.
I know, it's so
I finished
good.
It off, I tell you, no, I did a cover version. The whole thing was all covers. So this is the best cover version there's ever been, in my opinion. just a blinding record.
Yeah,
and you introduced me to it. Okay, right. So moving on from there, after PWL, you started working with sort of some funk sort of groups in the area. And
So then I got to 30, and then I was thinking, oh my god, and I'd left the production deal that I was in. I was like, oh, they were concentrating so much on that all girl group.
Yeah.
They were like cancelling my session. They started to cancel that. They had me sing on. I recorded loads there, and then I got the call to go on a gig.
Yeah,
It was August 2003.
Yeah.
So 21 years ago,
oh.
It was a band Speedometer, and Simon, who I knew at Big Noise Recording Studio.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realise.
Stingray.
Yeah, Stingray. Simon Davis, he was keys player in that band, and I didn't know at the time. I knew he was in bands, but I didn't know. I used to just go there and record and stuff, and knew Simon. And then he just texted me and said, can you come and do a gig with my band? In Bruges, it's in a week's time.
Okay,
come and get the CDs to learn the stuff from.
I mean, I've been with you where you're learning tracks before driving to gigs and you're sick playing the song over and over again. I remember
trying to get it in my brain, in my small brain.
Yeah,
I said to him, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And he sent me the stuff, it was all like funk stuff, all original, because their singer had let them down at the last minute. And who was Caroline Flack?
Oh, yes. I remember you.
Yeah.
I remember her being in Speedo,
Yeah, so she was in Speedometer before me. And then I was learning all the stuff from, all the songs from what she was singing. I didn't know her at the time. I knew she was on like a Pepsi chart show. That's what she was on at the time. And anyway, so that Pepsi chart show kind of got in the way of that gig for her. So anyway, I went to Bruges, and Lee Gracie, who runs Speedometer, said to me, would you come? We're halfway through our very first album. We're signed by Freestyle Records, and this is our first album. We're halfway through it. Could you finish it? Caroline Flack has done half of it, and then you can finish the rest. So I said yes. I went to Big Noise, and then Lee said to me later on, you know, it was a decider, you know, if you could do this particular song. So he said to me on the day, I've got this song. I've tried so many different people to sing it, or a few different people to sing it. But although, you know, they sang it great or whatever, he had just one sound in his head, he said to me afterwards. And he thought, you know, if she doesn't sound like the sound I want, because he thought at the Bruges gig, I think she's going to sound how I want it to sound. So he said to me afterwards, I was going to scrap that song and not do it.
Yeah.
But I sung it, and he said, you know, that's it. And I remember him saying, where have you been? Can you like, and basically finish the album. So I finished the album. I think I did three tracks on that first one, maybe four, three. Yeah. I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
I think it's, what? Who Am I Going to Get, Do All I Ever Need, and The Best You Can? I think, because I think only because there's ticks by the side of that. So I imagine.
Oh, so that must be for someone else, because that's a signed copy, so I was giving that to someone. Must be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, All I Ever Need is the song that he was going to scrap, and he said to me, later, that was the decider.
Yeah. Okay, shall we hear it?
Yeah.
This is the Speedometer. A great band. They made some really fantastic records, and featuring the vocals of Rhea Curry.
Mm-hmm. tell you how it is. If you don't feel appreciated, come over here and sit a while. When I'm down, like I know ya, 'cause nobody sees ya, mm-hmm, quite like I see ya. When we get a problem, I know we can work it out, 'cause that kind of honesty others only dream about. Just complete me and all that you do, yeah, yeah, and all that you do, yeah. This is all I ever needed. This is all I ever needed. All I need is you. This is all I ever needed. All I need is just you. It's you. This is all I ever needed. All I need is you.
Speedometer featuring Rhea Curry there.
And I sound so young.
It's a great track. I really like that. Fantastic stuff. So it's got a real... what Speedo is so good at, I think, is sounding like the era they're trying to do.
Yeah, that's...
I think that's got a lot to do with Simon as well.
Yeah.
Because his recording studio is quite well known. It's particularly in the funk world. Lots of people go to Big Noise.
Analog and
because it's analog and they go there because it's got a sound and it works. And that's a really great track.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I love that one.
Brilliant. So, yeah, with Speedo, you ended up touring with them. You went to Japan.
Oh, we've done a lot over the years. Yeah, lots of different countries.
And all over Europe, I know, as well.
Yeah, over Europe, sorry, yeah. And it's funny when people say, oh, have you been to such and such? And you think, no, I've not been there. But then you think, oh, no, I have, actually, for one gig. We're like, I didn't really see
it. Yeah, for an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. But, we've done two Japan tours because back in the day, we half our record sales are in Japan and the other half the rest of the world. So if you imagine in Japan, how the size of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Compared to...
Yeah, there's quite a lot of... A lot of bands from that kind of genre, if you like. I know Corduroy was really, really big in Japan as well.
Yeah.
It's that kind of, they like that kind of 60s moddy, funky, soul-y thing, don't they?
Yeah, and when the Japanese fans like your...
They're obsessed.
They love it.
Yeah.
You know, love it.
Yeah.
And it was funny because on the first, I think the first tour was 2005. Second tour was 2011.
Okay.
There was people at the signings afterwards, that, you know, of the albums and stuff.
Yeah.
There was people that remembered
the first one
and said, oh, I saw you. And one guy was saying to me, and you played this and this and this in this order. He knew all the order.
Yeah, knows everything. It's amazing.
And Japan, just such an amazing place.
Everyone I know has ever been, no one's ever said, don't go there, it's horrible. Yeah, I've got a mate of mine who goes there for work quite a bit, and he said, it's just an incredible place, you know?
Yeah, it's just amazing. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's so different that you feel like an alien on another planet. Yeah. Yeah. You know?
What kind of venues were you playing there, though?
Well, the Blue Note, mainly. Okay.
That's mainly in Tokyo, is it?
We've got, we've done Osaka, Nagoya, Yokohama, and Tokyo.
Okay.
Yeah. The Blue Note. I think Yokohama was a different club, but the Blue Note in Tokyo, and you do two shows a night.
Okay. Yeah, matinee and then the evening.
Yeah. Kind of a matinee,
Early evening.
Then later. And two different audiences, obviously.
Excellent. It must have been so much fun to do that.
Yeah.
How long were you out
there
for?
I'm with the boys.
Yeah.
I'm one of the boys.
Yeah. How long did you go out there for?
Just over a week, I think we did.
Yeah.
Bullet train and...
Yeah. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I'm not jealous at all.
Yeah.
great. Well, should we play another track?
Yeah.
One of, one of the tracks you've chosen, I know, is you introduced me to this track as well.
Oh, did I? No, Queenie Lights.
The first time you came on Box of Delights, which was probably about 9 years ago now, I think.
Yeah, it must have been.
A long while ago. And you played this as one of your tracks. And it's like, I've not heard this before.
It still remains one of my favourite funk tracks. It's an amazing track.
The vocal on this is outstanding.
It's just great.
So, if you want to play it, this is Marie Queenie Lyons, and this track's called, Care?
See
and Don't See. My memory is so bad.
Like
that's fantastic. The Marie Queenie Lyons there.
Yeah.
What a track. We're just discussing that. The drumming on that is something that really, really resonates with me. Mm. And I don't know who the drummer was on that track, but I think it's Bernard Purdy.
We need to look that up.
Yeah, we have to try and find out if it is or not, because it's just incredible, incredible vocal, everything. The groove of that is amazing. Yeah. And thank you very much for introducing it to me, because it's something good stead. I've played it many, many times on different streams and radio shows and stuff I do. It's always a favourite of mine. It's great.
Banger.
It's an absolute certified banger. Absolutely. Superb stuff. So, yeah, you've done Japan with Speedo. And there's... trying to think other people you've worked with around that time. There's a band like the Get Up you've done a lot of stuff with.
Yeah, in recent years, with the Get Up.
King Rooster. Soul Immigrants. Yeah, we've got a Soul Immigrants track coming up in a bit, which is another guy called Embry Spared. You should check out the Soul Immigrants people. They're very, very good.
Yeah. And... BVs for people. Yeah.
Oh, you've done work with Snowy as well, haven't you?
Snowboy.
Mark Cockroach, Snowboy, yeah.
Yeah. So we're with Latin Section.
Yeah.
I've got a gig with them actually in December.
Okay.
Pizza Express Holborn.
Yeah. Are you singing New York Afternoon again?
New York Afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
So we did that actually at the Cotswolds Soul Weekender.
Okay.
It was really a great weekender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in January, I think. Yeah. I might be wrong. I can't remember when we did it, but I think it was January. And it was the writer of New York Afternoon,
Richie Cole,
his daughter and grandson,
came
over to hear it. So no pressure with me.
Well, I've corresponded briefly with Annie on Facebook. Because I play Richie's music all the time, because that's how I got into jazz. My dad had a Richie Cole album, and I never really liked jazz until I heard Richie Cole. And I get it now, and I love him. I play him all the time. And I've played stuff on radio shows, and I was linking Richie Cole's fan page on Facebook. And Annie, more on one occasion, goes, "Thanks for playing my dad's music." And it's like, she's a real sweetheart.
Yeah, yeah. She's lovely. And so I knew she was coming. And then when Snowboy said, "Oh, this is Annie, Richie Cole's daughter," and I said, "Hello." Yeah. And Snowboy said, "She's going to be singing New York Afternoon." Mm. She said, "Oh, I'm so looking forward to it, you know." And then she went, "And this is my son, Richie Cole's grandson." Yeah. I thought, "Oh no, God. The pressure was just getting
absolutely.
More."
Absolutely.
I was in my hotel room. I was learning that thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So lucky enough.
Because I know Mark actually was working with Richie when he died, wasn't he? Richie was doing some new stuff. Mm. And Mark was... Oh, I don't know whether that'll ever see the day, but I hope it does, because it'd be fantastic to hear.
Yeah.
Because I know Mark's been a big pusher of Richie's music in this country.
Yeah.
And he's still, people don't know him. Jazz fans don't know who Richie Cole is. And he's like, yeah, how can you not know this man? He's amazing. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And talking to New York Afternoon, Mark Evans, who sung it on Snowboy's album, he came over recently.
That's right.
A few months ago, and they worked on some stuff.
Yeah, I know. Mark, I saw Mark putting stuff up on Facebook that Mark's been
and
over.
And I heard some of it at the studio.
Is it good?
Mark played it for me at the studio, and Big Noise, and it is brilliant.
I can't wait to hear that.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
because his new stuff with the Brazilian sort of
influence
stuff,
great.
The girl from Liverpool, that's really good as well.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, yeah. So.
New things coming.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And you also, I wanted to ask you also, before we move on to maybe some music you've done, you've still done lots of promotion as well.
Yeah.
With Tongue and Groove.
Tongue and Groove. My nights, I'm going to be doing another one hopefully soon. Maybe, what month are we in?
We're in March.
Okay. So maybe at the end of the year. Because I do like a 3-month warm-up.
Yeah, yeah. You put some great stuff down. I mean, who have I seen down there? Obviously, I've seen The Get Up, obviously. I've seen Bongolian. I've seen Smith and Terrell. That was a really good
Haggis
night.
Haggis Horns
a couple of times.
I've put on Omar.
Yeah, Omar.
Roachford.
Yeah. Roachford a couple of times.
Yeah. Carleen Anderson.
I didn't see Carleen Anderson. You did Snowboy as well, didn't you?
Snowboy,
at the Palace, yeah.
Yeah, and he's done the Boatyard as well.
Yeah, that's good.
Who else have we done?
No, lots of.
James Hunter.
Oh yes, I didn't go to the James Hunter one, but yeah, I've been to quite a few of them, and they're always really well attended.
Yeah.
Oh, James Taylor.
James Taylor Quartet.
Yeah, he did that one as well.
A couple of times.
Because my mates from Liverpool came down for the James Taylor Quartet one. That was a really good night.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Super.
Yeah, they always sell out, don't they?
Yeah, that was good. And also, you're doing some stuff around the town. You do an open mic night?
Open mic night I've started. I started about a year ago.
Yeah.
I love it. And just local people come up and do, you know, a few songs.
Yeah. All kinds of different types of music?
All different types.
Yeah.
Some people just doing with backing tracks. Some people playing the guitar. Some people have never got up and sung ever in their life.
That's amazing. Just get people having a chance to do
there.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Just getting up there. And then they go on to do other gigs and they're getting their confidence. And yeah, it's great.
Yeah. And you do a thing called Feel Good Singing. And it wasn't that. What's
the
that?
Feel Good Sing, I just started that up. It's on a Wednesday night in Lee Community Centre. And basically, you don't have to be a singer. Everyone sings together. It's all for like feel good factor.
Yeah.
So it's we're not choir. We don't perform. We don't work on songs.
Just
we just sing a song. Yeah. Move on to the next one.
Yeah, just to feel good.
Yeah, feel good. And everyone just feels uplifted. Everyone's friendly. We laugh a lot, you know.
My sister's been involved in things like that down in Cornwall. She lives in Cornwall. And although the woman she works with runs choirs and my sister's in the choir and they're quite well known. But it all starts that kind of thing. Just, you fancy a sing-song, and you don't have to be any good. Just go and have a sing.
Yeah. And and people come in there so embarrassed sometimes because they don't know anyone, their first time. And then you see them, a few months later, they're getting lifts from the other members, coming out. I mean, we have a social thing as well. Yeah. So we have a Christmas do, a summer do, where
great.
We go out.
Yeah. I think that's the beauty of music, though, isn't it? I think music just does bring people together. It really does. I've noticed this on this Twitch thing I'm involved in. Because it happened sort of in lockdown. Lots of DJs are all around the world. I don't ever play out as a DJ, but I've done radio for years. But they had nowhere to go. No income, because, that's what they earn their money doing. So they thought, this Twitch thing looks good. We can broadcast. And it's just taken off. And I know people all over the world now. I've got friends in Mexico, in Brazil, in the States, in Canada, in Australia, in Germany. All these people. And that. DJ D, who now does a show on Ship Full of Bombs, I met via this community, and it's because of music.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And it really is a fantastic thing. And it's really good to see someone doing something like that and getting people.
And one thing I must say is that so we celebrated our. Is it the 9th today?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So that is our 2-year anniversary
Excellent.
For the Feel Good Sing. And to celebrate our first year, we recorded a song at Big Noise. We recorded...
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, I said to them, do you all want to go into a recording studio? They were like, yeah! And then we all went to Simon, Big Noise, and we recorded a version of The Monkees' I'm a Believer.
Oh, brilliant.
So they absolutely loved it. So we went in 10 at a time.
Yeah.
There was about 20-something people.
Yeah.
And we did the backing, we did the harmonies.
Oh,
we did it all. I absolutely loved it.
Oh, brilliant. Even if it's not for anyone but you, that's great, isn't it?
So we've got it, and Simon emailed it, I emailed it to all of them, so we've all got it.
Yeah, and, it's a bit of, that's us. I'm on that. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Excellent. And you also do a Sunday jazz thing.
Yeah, started that in January, so jazz trios every single Sunday.
Is that you singing or just promoting that?
I am singing every other, something like that, or every third, with a jazz trio. And so me singing, got Tony Goodrum on keys and Jeff Harris on double bass.
Okay.
And we're singing all the old standards.
Yeah. That's good.
And it was Snowboy, actually, that kept saying to me, you've got to sing some like just jazz.
Well, sorry, it's not a thing. I'm not a thing I've heard you sing jazz. It'd be good to hear you do some jazz.
I love it. And it's all really quiet and chilled. We're really, really chilled. And then I'm also booking the trios for the times I don't sing as well. So we've got Raiden Hunter coming up. Graham Turner did some. We've got Dave Maskell.
Oh, right.
He's already done one. He's got another one coming. We've got Ruby Robinson.
Some good stuff.
So
that's
all different people.
I'll have to get my backside in gear and come down to one of those and listen to it. Because I'm a massive jazz fan anyway, you know, and I play jazz. I'm not musically, but play jazz on radio.
Yeah, and you can come down just for a drink and listen, because now what's good is, at the beginning, obviously it was a new thing and not many people knew about it, but now people are coming to listen to it.
That's the way everything starts. And people are not going to get 10,000 people through the door the first time you do it.
Yeah, people, I mean, this Sunday is Mother's Day, so it's going to be rammed in there, but the Sunday after, obviously.
That'd be nice. Excellent. Good stuff. Right, let's play another tune. You're going to play someone next, I believe, who recently passed away. Very sad. What a great singer. And I played her countless times over the last couple of months since she died. A great loss, and a great soul singer, and a great jazz singer as well. So yeah, Marlena Shaw.
I never got to see her, but
no,
I nearly did. Because Ernie McCone was
Corey's not bad
Push.
Either, is he?
from Push.
Yeah.
I just remember him saying, "Oh, we're down at Ronnie Scott's and we could do it with Marlena Shaw.
Yeah.
Why don't you come down?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay." And then for some reason I couldn't make the date. And so I regret that.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Women in the Ghetto.
I'm going to go obvious. I'm going
California Soul.
I can do that if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. No, California Soul is what she's known best for. Superb.
Like a sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget from sundown.
Wonderful Marlena Shaw there.
Yeah.
California Soul. What a great, great record that is. There's loads of versions that are around as well, and they're all brilliant, but she's the best one.
And Go Away, Little Boy, you know, the intro where she's speaking, the timing on that.
Oh, it's amazing.
There's not many people that could do that when you listen to that, where she's speaking.
I bought one of her albums at a record fair recently from about 1986, 87, quite a later one. And it's quite... soul sort of funky side, and it's still really, really great. And there's still some really good tracks on it. And it's just her voice is just amazing. What a singer. Brilliant stuff. Right, and then you've moving on to some more recent projects. One of the projects you recently did was with Emrys Baird and the Soul Immigrants.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
I remember you talking to you about that, and you said, oh, I'm going to Brixton to sing for someone. I knew of Emrys and I'd got Soul Immigrants records, but you know, you didn't say who it was and didn't put two. And then this record came out. Oh, that's me what she was talking about.
Yeah. So it's a cover.
Yeah.
I mean, the Barbara Lynn one is amazing. And I think there's a recent band that did it.
Yeah, there is, isn't there?
Hannah Williams, I think.
Yeah.
Did a version of it. But our one's different to both of those.
So how did you do that? You actually went to the studio up in Brixton?
Because
I know sometimes you do it over lines and...
I do that, I go to Simon. When I did the Free Thinker Essence one, he sent that from Germany, I think. And I did it with Simon and then we sent it.
Yeah.
And then they mixed it.
Yeah, so they send you the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay. They send it to Simon.
Yeah.
And then we can do it in the studio and then... Yeah. Send over the vocals.
Yeah, but you actually went up to Brixton.
Yeah, I recorded it with them,
Yeah, excellent. I mean, the whole album's great. I love that album. It's a really... And Emrys is one of those guys that... Why is he not really, really famous? Because he's so good. And you hear some... His vocals are amazing.
Yeah. Back from the Brink.
Oh, that's right. And it's just...
Yeah. It was a great record.
Just so good. And you think... I mean, I've been doing it a long while.
Yeah.
I remember once... The first time I ever came across Emrys was on... A thing that Pete Brady, who's a DJ from Belfast, put on a thing on Facebook during the first lockdown. And he was trying to raise some money for the NHS. And we had lots of DJs. That's the first time I ever DJed online. And Pete knew me via sort of Facebook and doing radio and stuff. And I was part of the lineup. And then halfway through, when the evening was this guy called Emrys Baird, who I was a Facebook friend of. I didn't know really much about him. And he did his... Just an acoustic guitar. It had a few beers, I think. Strangely.
What, Emrys?
Yeah. It had a couple. But it was amazing. It's like this voice of this angel coming out of this man. Just really a brilliant guitar. Yeah, it's fabulous. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, no, he's a great character, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually have met him. He came down to one of the last, last Tongue and Groove thing you did with... The King Rooster.
Oh, he might have done,
I think he came down for that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he
Because I was
done.
Standing outside and he goes, hello, Mark. And I went,
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever met him.
I'm trying to remember if he was there. He must have been there then.
I think he came down for that. Because, I mean, that'd be good to have them on at some point. I'd love to see them live. Does he ever do live stuff?
I played with them a couple of times in Southend.
You did, didn't you? So I couldn't go to that. You played at the Palace Hotel. Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
And we did this.
I think the Millers come down to that, didn't they? Yeah, yeah.
And we did this song. We did this song as on the gigs.
Yeah.
And then that's what prompted them to say, do you want to record this for our next album? Okay.
I think it was the case of that happening. It was about 7:30 at night or 8:00 at night. And I found out they were playing. I thought, you know, you've got your jammers on. And you can't really be bothered to go out now. But otherwise, I would have known in advance I would have come down.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is The Soul Immigrants featuring Rhea Curry. No Good Woman. No, I'm a Good Woman, sorry.
I'm a Good Woman.
I'm a Good Woman. There's another song called I'm a No Good Woman, but someone else does, but it's I'm a Good Woman.
You leave your home for days and days. And I know, I said I know, that you got another woman somewhere around. But hey, I'm a good woman. Such a good woman. So don't treat me like dirt. I'm in. They're all talking.
but I know what I'm gonna do. I know what I'm gonna do. I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna move.
Yeah. Oh, the Soul Immigrants featuring Rita Curry. Who's Rita Curry?
Rita Curry.
That's I'm a good woman. What a great record that is. That whole album is superb.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, really good.
Great stuff. Yeah, check out the Soul Immigrants. He's been playing record for years and years. I've got stuff going back, like, again, probably 15-20 years. He's been beavering away making superb funky records. Great stuff, brilliant musician, great guitarist, great stuff. Right, we're coming fairly near the end now, but you've got a new project on the go. We have a guy called Ricky Calloway from
America,
from the US, who he calls himself the King of Funk. He's got that whole James Brown sort of thing off.
Yeah, wears a cape.
Got the whole thing off very, very well. Mm. He's in his like 70s now, isn't he, I believe? He's still touring, still doing gigs. He's still
recording,
doing loads of stuff. I've got stuff with Will Sessions he's done. Lots and lots of different things. How did the whole thing come about, Ricky?
When there was a festival, I can't remember what year it was, I was there with, I was playing with the Get Up.
Yep.
It was the Hook and Sling.
Okay.
In London. And Ricky was with Will Sessions there.
Yeah.
And performed. Was you there?
No, I didn't go to that.
Oh, so he performed. He was like the main act at the end. And I didn't actually really get to speak to him backstage or anything, because there was lots of musicians there, and it was a great festival. It was indoor, because we was getting to see people that we hadn't seen for ages on the funk scene. Because obviously when you're playing clubs, you don't see any of these unless you're at a festival. You don't see your other bands really. So it was really good catching up with everyone, and it was just late last year or sometime last year. He and I was just chatting via Messenger and was just saying about doing a duet. And he was saying that he felt I had a Marva Whitney thing going on, and about a duet. And we was talking about if you don't work, you can't eat would be a great one to do. And then he said, how about I send you over one of my songs that I wrote, and you know, see what you can do with that. Write some stuff to it. So, yeah, so he sent that over, sent it to Simon at Big Noise. I went over there and I had written all this stuff. And I'd spent weeks like writing all these verses and this and that. And actually, I went, me and Simon, we just played it. And then he said, oh, just go in there. I'm going to play Ricky singing and you just sing some stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, just sing some. So I just went around his vocal.
Yeah.
Then Simon took him off some parts, put me on.
Yeah.
And we just mixed it up a bit. And, yeah, sent it back to Ricky and he just said, oh, I love it. You know, I love it. And he said, we sound so good together.
Yeah.
And they do. Our voices really match together.
I do get that. When you talk about the Marvel Whitney thing, it's very... got a quality to her voice that is like yours, I think.
Yeah, it's funny enough. I was singing recently and I was singing with the Beatniks locally.
Yeah.
And Eddie Piller was DJing.
Hmm.
And afterwards he said, you know, if I close my eyes, I felt like I was listening to Marva Whitney.
Yeah, you've got to get a big blonde afro. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, so Ricky wants to do more stuff.
Brilliant.
So he said he's got more stuff to send over.
Excellent.
And he wants to do more songs. And
so on this track we're playing now, this is a world exclusive.
Yeah.
It's never been played on the radio before.
Yeah.
It's actually in demo form. It's got to be mixed down apparently a bit more.
Yeah, it's got
to
be mastered. It's still a demo.
Yeah, demo. But this is fantastic. So what I'm going to do now, if I would say thanks very much, Ria, for coming in. We'll leave you
with this one.
It's been really great having you in. It's good to see you again. You have to come back on the box again soon and play some more tunes because it's always a great fun. And we're going to leave you with this. This is Ricky Calloway and Ria. I've done it again!
Stop calling me.
I'm sorry. Because you got your house coat on today and your hair in curlers. That's what it is. And a fag hanging out of your mouth.
And the tights all crimped.
That's right. Ria Curry, Ricky Calloway. This is called Rock My Soul.